In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. And we answer, truly is risen. My beloved, today the church is celebrating another week past, and we're remembering the miracle that the Lord had made over the man that was a paralytic, that had been sick for 38 years. He was bedridden, and in the 38 years he was trying to come to the place where a miracle was happening every year. An angel of God would come and move the water in the basins, and my beloved, and he was waiting for 30 years, but he could find nobody that would bring him to there. And by the time he was able to crawl in there, it was too late. Somebody else gotten into the water. And the thing was that the first one that gets into the water was cured of any ailment, any sickness whatsoever. And so this man, in desperation, was just about living there by the pool, waiting for somebody to come and throw him in there when the moment of the water is. And the Lord, knowing all this, he came up to him and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "Yes, I want to be healed, but I have no one to throw me into the water. By the time I crawl in there, it's already too late." And the Lord says, "Get up and take your bed and walk." And he did that miraculously. After 38 years, having the palsy or being paralyzed, my beloved, he just got up and took his bed and started to walk as the Lord had told him. And the Lord went in with the crowd, and he didn't have a chance to say anything to him, to thank him or anything else. But carrying the bed on him, that was a big no-no. That was considered work by the Old Testament Jewish people. And the Pharisees spotted him immediately and they said, "What are you doing? You can't do this on a Saturday." And he says, "Well, the one that healed me, he told me to do it, to pick up my bed and to walk." And they ask him, "Well, who was that?" And he didn't know. And so he goes away from them. And the Lord meets him again and sees him and says, "Well, now that you're healed, sin no more. Otherwise, worse thing will befall you." And my beloved, and as soon as he found out that he was Jesus, his name was Jesus, he went back to the Pharisees and to tell the Pharisees that it was Jesus that had saved, that had caused that great miracle and told him to walk. Well, some of the Holy Fathers have a difference of opinion. Some say that he did that because he wanted to praise the Lord and for them to know that he is such a great miracle. On the other hand, he was afraid of the power of the Pharisees, and he wanted to make sure that they don't blame him, some other people think. Another Holy Fathers say that actually later on he had done exactly what the Lord had tried to foretell him and tell him not to sin any more and worse. And the tradition is that when the Lord was taken before the Sinhedrin, or before the Jewish rulers, first priests, and so on, and he was asked a question, he answered the Caiaphas something, and after he answered it, a man called Malch, he came and slapped the Lord on the face. He said, "How you dare you speak this way to the bishops?" And some Holy Fathers say that he was actually the one that was cured by the Lord. What a gratitude, what a gratitude a man showed after 38 years, if that is so, after 38 years and being cured and having such a great miracle done, to pay back the Lord with a slap in the face. Well, my beloved, isn't this what we are doing? Isn't what we are doing so many times. We're getting miracles after miracles. The whole life is a miracle. Our life is a miracle. Everything around us is a constant miracle. Now we're in the springtime. Look at the miracles that the Lord is making of the growth of everything is waking up from a deep sleep of the winter. And it is for a sign, this baby. They don't think it's a miracle. They know the process. But in fact, it is all great miracles. The Lord God himself is sustaining every flower, every little butterfly, and every bird, and everything that it is that you see. And he does it all for our joy, so that we can rejoice and glorify him, his creation. Do we do that? To my great sorrow, very seldom do we glorify our Lord, and we thank him for everything that he gives us. He sustains our life all the time. If it wasn't for him, we would have a long time ago probably perished. We think that it's the medicines and the doctors and all them, that they're the ones that are really healing us. No, it is the Lord that's healing us. He may use the doctors, he may use the medicines, but the actual healing, it comes from the Lord, because no medicine, no doctor will ever be able to help us if it wasn't God's help. If God didn't help give the wisdom to the doctors to find out what sickness we are and how to cure it, what herbs to use and so on, and even if God reveals that, but if it's not God's will for us to be healed, if it is for us to be still sick, the medicine will not work on us. And we know that. And if you look around and check even with your relatives, you find that so many times doctors can't seem to be able to find the cure for whatever may ail you. And, well, our first and the most important doctor is our Creator, is the Lord. He is the healer. We don't need an angel to come and move the water so that we'll have the miracle that is given only to one person once a year. We have the Lord all the time before us. He's always willing to cure us, but we have to have faith. And that's the key, as St. John of Croatia says. The greatest gift that we have from God is faith, is the belief. And if we don't believe, then we cannot get any miracles. My beloved, this is what the Lord had shown himself. He had done so many miracles, but many times he would ask, do you believe? And when the person will say, I believe, then he performed the miracle. There was a man that came up to the Lord and said, cure my son. The disciples couldn't do it. And take away the demon from him. And the Lord said, do you believe? And he says, I believe, O Lord, but help me unbelief. Well, this is probably what we have to do all the time. We have to ask the Lord to strengthen our belief, to make our belief more, to have the faith to really to believe. Because without the faith, we can't pray. We cannot pray, and we cannot do anything. We cannot glorify the Lord, because if we don't believe that he exists, well, then what happens? Well, we become like the atheists, like the communists, or like all the people that are unbelievers that live only for the temporary. If we don't believe in God, how can we believe in life after death? And the worst thing that is happening in the world, that the demons that taught the 90% probably of the living creatures, or even more here, living people, that there is no life after death. And they only just worry about the today, worry about how to provide how you for yourself, how you can live good, or how you can make it in this world and be something and become something. For all those things that Holy Fathers has actually shunned from. They didn't want to make it in this world. They were many times given all kinds of powers and authorities and riches and so on, but they denied all that, and they didn't want it because they wanted to have the kingdom of heaven. They remembered the Beatitudes, in which the Lord is telling that blessed are the poor, and they were not looking to become rich and to stop being poor. They knew about what the Lord said, that widow had put the two little pennies into the box that it was collecting for the and for the church use. While many rich people came and put hundreds and thousands of probably gold pieces or whatever in those boxes. But the Lord said that widow had put more than any one of them. Why? Because she gave from whatever she had. She had given everything that she had. She given her food away. She gave from her heart. Whatever she had, she gave it to the church, to the Lord through the church. And my beloved, and that the Lord considered as being the greatest sacrifice and gift. Well, we usually don't do that. We don't give out the last thing that we have. We keep the last. But there were saints that have done exactly that, that they were given the last, even the last. We had a saint that saw a man, that a poor man that was naked. He only had one covering on his body, and he took that covering and gave it to him. He had, the only thing he had left was the gospel, which he always kept on his heart. He was always on his chest. He held the gospel. And what he did, when the need arose and he saw somebody was taken away for debts, to put into jail or to even to be sold as a slave, he sold the gospel to give it to free that man. And he did that. And he was left totally naked and without any possession whatsoever, including not even the gospel that he was always cherishing. My beloved, why did he do that? Oh, because he said that the gospel taught me to do that. And he took the gospel seriously. Are we taking the gospel seriously? I would say that no, too many times we're not. And that's what proves and shows us that we are also paralytic. So we are bedridden spiritually. We're spiritually sick because we don't really live according to the gospel. Are we willing to bless those who curse us? Are we willing to do good to those who are our enemies? Those, of course, not to the demons. Our enemies, that they hate us because of the way that we live, or for whatever reason it may be. And are we blessing them? Are we loving them? Are we loving our enemies, as the gospel said? No, my beloved, many times we don't do that. Well, we have to change that. And we can do it. We cannot do it on our own. We need the help of our Lord. We need our Lord to actually to first give us the cure, to cure us from our spiritual sickness. Don't worry about the physical sickness. Those things are many times, the Lord allows it only for our benefit, so that we can curtail our passions, and so that we can start realizing that our life here is not eternal. It only will come to a certain point, as St. John of Cronstadt says, and it's like a clock that ticks away the time, and when it comes to a certain time, then it stops. You know, especially we nowadays have clocks with the batteries, and before that you had to pull a mechanism to wind up the clock so that it'll go. Well, that's our life, or like a candle, the Holy Father says. The candle, you light the candle, the Lord had lit that candle when we had our birth, and it's lit and lit, and then it goes down further, 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 and finally it snuffs out. And this is what our life is, and we have to learn to love our Lord and to know that He didn't make the life for us, and He didn't create us for little time in life, but He actually created us for eternal life. But because of the transgressions of our ancestors, and because of our transgressions, we have to go through that stage, and we have to return to the earth, and then the Lord will resurrect us, and then He will create for us a life that will never be extinguished, it will be eternal. But of course, if we love Him, then we'll be able to be with Him and rejoicing. But if we haven't learned to rejoice in the Lord, seeing the nature, seeing the flowers, seeing each other, and my beloved, and glorifying God for everything, whatever is happening, and thanking Him for whatever is happening to us, we're not going to quite make it. So, beloved, let's wake up. Let's ask the Lord to heal us spiritually so that we'll be able to be aware what this life is about. And the real life for us is the attainment of the kingdom of heaven. And that, the start of it, has to be in our heart. We have to find the kingdom of heaven in our heart. And that is with the union of God through the prayer. Then when you start to feel God's presence, then we'll start to really, already start to rejoice. And then truly we can rejoice in this great holiday. And when we, even when we say, Christ is risen, and we can answer, truly is risen, or indeed he is risen, and we'll have a great joy in our heart. And no one can snuff it, nobody can take it away, and that joy from us. Amen.